We live in volatile, uncertain and complex times. So how do we navigate an age of uncertainty and complexity in global development? In this series, we explore the future of PARTOLS, the Dutch Development Cooperation Association that brings together nearly 110 Dutch development NGOs. The podcast series is produced by Disrupt Development, the world's first post-growth innovation academy in global development. My name is Alexander Medic, the founder and innovation strategist at Disrupt Development. In this second episode, together with Dr. Tina Coombs, we will try to better understand the role of resilience in global development. We will discuss what resilience and adaptive management is, why these concepts are important for global development actors, and how the dynamic and adaptive policy pathways methodology is shaping the future of PARTOLS.
One of the features that is embedded in both organizations, but also in the way just we humans think and resonate, that we intuitively hate uncertainty.
Dr. Tina Coombs is international expert and thought leader on designing resilient societies. She holds diverse positions at the TU Delft, University of Maastricht, University Dauphine, and the Norwegian Academy for Technological Sciences. Besides, she also serves as the director of the Resilience Lab that is supporting PARTOLS in the future exploration and is entrusted advisor to the European Commission on the future strategic crisis management in Europe. Tina, it's a big pleasure to have you on the Disrupt Development podcast. Welcome.
Thanks, and it's a pleasure to be here and to talk about this exciting topic.
So Tina, we're going to talk about adaptive management and dynamic adaptive policy pathways. So at the current moment, we live in volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous times, how it is being called often. A great example is, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic that is constantly evolving, with global development actors facing unpredictability, imperfect information, multiple unknowns, basically, right? So now more than ever, societies, organizations, and global development actors have come to the realization that being resilient and being adaptive matters. Now, these are two terms I would like to dive into, but perhaps on a later moment, not now. I would like to first explore why it is important for organizations to be resilient and adaptive. So, yeah, could you tell me a little bit more about the why? Why for perhaps societies, but also then diving into the actors within the societies, why it is so important for, in this case, global development actors?
Yeah, thanks for kicking this off with this important question. Of course, we all always ask, why should we be resilient? And the COVID-19 pandemic that you already mentioned, of course, has put all our resilience to the test at a personal level, but of course, also at organizational and societal level. And just very briefly, in a nutshell, resilience is the ability to thrive under adverse conditions. So that means we are able to cope with shocks like the pandemic now, and apparently that's extremely relevant. But at the same time, and as you also mentioned before, the world is quickly changing. We have, for instance, climate change that will also bring rising sea levels, heat waves, but also other extreme weather events leading to flooding. We know that in the context of COVID-19, poverty levels are rising, but also we see that new technologies are emerging that enable us to connect like never before and enable also us to reach out to communities that we couldn't reach in the same way before. But at the same time, they also bring misinformation, echo chambers. We talk about polarization, societal fragmentation. and that means to be resilient, we have to be able to deal with all these uncertainties, not just in a way to deal with these rapid shocks to bounce back, but also in a way that allows us to not, by bouncing back, recreating the same conditions that brought us into peril in the first time. So for me, there are two aspects of that. Of course, quickly recovering from what you're facing, as well as then learning and adapting to change. So I would call also that the bouncing forward paradigm. And then in terms of actors, I've already mentioned some of the challenges that we are facing, for instance, changing climate, extreme poverty, and we all know that, you know, in the global south, these are most pronounced, right? I live in the Netherlands. Here, you know, it's one of the best protected countries in the world with huge flood defenses and so forth. So one, we are able to cope with these climate stresses, but we are also not the countries that are most heavily affected by that. We also know, for instance, that there are already around 100 million people in extreme poverty. A couple of years ago, we know that with COVID, this total is likely to increase and increase massively. We also know that, you know, in the global south, for instance, cities are booming. There's increasing pressure of populations to demand new and better infrastructure, and that ranges from transportation, logistics, infrastructure to telecommunication, water, sanitation, and hygiene, new agricultural systems. We also know that these infrastructure systems are designed and developed now, but especially infrastructures have a very long life cycle. So that means what we are planning and building now is likely to be there not just for 10 years or 5 years, that's sort of the normal planning horizon maybe, but for the next 50 to 100 years. So there is now an incredible opportunity to build resilience and adaptivity into the systems that we are building. And by the way, this path dependency is not only there for physical infrastructure systems like roads and bridges or water networks or energy systems, but it's also there for social systems. So also these, especially norms and values, are never rapidly changing. That's why it's important to create really the platforms and structures that we want to be resilient in the future now.
Wow, that's impressive. And you provided a better understanding of the terminologies around resilience and adaptiveness and how it also relates to societies and international development. I also see this around me. I'm currently part of a strategy development process in an organization. I also work for AIDS Funds. It's an international NGO working on global health, basically. And one of our emphasis on the current strategy is how we can become a more adaptive organization due to all these different trends that we see around us and basically the constantly evolving landscape that we are currently in as an organization. And it's an evolving process as well for ourselves as an organization. And it's not always easy to adapt to all these different circumstances, because eventually if you dive into the organizational architecture, it implies that you need to change things around within the organization, that you need to change policies, you need to do your work differently. Perhaps you need to unlearn certain skills or certain ideas or concepts that you initially had as an organization, or also at the moment changing an organizational culture to become more resilient. And it's a very exciting approach and direction that we're currently moving into. But I would also say it's not always easy, but it is definitely very important. And you gave very good and very important reasons, Tina, why it is so important for organizations to become more resilient and also to become more adaptive. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the different concepts of resilience and adaptive management. You already explained, if I'm correct, what resilience means. But then we also have adaptive management. Could you perhaps, are these concepts the same? Is it, could you explain how you relate to these concepts?
Yeah, again, a very good question. And of course, sort of resilience is the ambition we strive to. So the ability to deal with these shocks and stresses, to adapt and learn. But adaptive management is then the way that we get there, for instance, as an organization that has to be confronted with that uncertainty. And adaptive management as a concept is actually not new, and definitely not new also to organizations that are in development, because of course, they are all confronted constantly with uncertainty, with a very complex environment where there are many actors, where the things are very dynamically changing. So, and that was picked up actually approximately 50 years ago also in the management literature, when people realized there is more uncertainty around that we can't just oversee and plan for and account for in very sort of linear decision-making processes. And there were also increasing frustrations with ways of this very linear planning. And then in the 70s, also still ideas that you would be able to model everything perfectly through. So people realized that is not possible anymore and brought then this concept of adaptive management forward. And in a nutshell, this is basically acknowledging that under conditions of uncertainty, we have to be able to act and react upon new insight and new knowledge. So instead of a priori saying, okay, this is what we are going to do for the next 20, 50, 100 years, acknowledging that we don't know yet how the world will look like even in 3, 5, 10 years, and then saying, as we learn, we will have to change, because then we have a better chance of coping with these dynamic developments than already locking us in and staying on a fixed path. One important thing that you also already mentioned is that this is more than just acquiring information. You know, we've also, I know that there's also a lot of activities in data collection, right? Getting more intelligence, understanding more about the world. But actually, it is not just about that. So not just acquiring information or knowledge, but also changing behavior in response to this new understanding about what we find out about our world or about the countries in which you're operating. And that is often much harder than, investing in new technology, satellite imagery that you can use, for instance, for forecasting. So really this organizational change is one of the things that is very tough, because it requires what you already mentioned. So looking internally in the organization, potentially changing processes, and really thinking about how can we embed that adaptivity into our organization.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you share these insights. And basically, you're saying learning is very important, data collection is very important, changing behavior is important. That's all part of an adaptive management approach for organizations to become resilient, which is eventually then objective in order to be able to adapt to the different changing and constantly evolving context the organizations are operating in. The funny thing is, and the interesting thing, you shared that the adaptive management approaches are already quite old. They exist for quite a long time. However, at the same time, what I constantly see happening within the global development field is that organizations tend to only work with a linear project management approach, planning for 5 years forward, setting targets for the next multiple years. So it's constantly thinking about linear lines and approaches and project management tools, which is all geared around basically the entire system that we all, in my opinion, are stuck in, where funding cycles dictate and donors dictate how projects and organizations basically should and could operate, which makes it very difficult for organizations on the one hand to still try to be flexible and adaptive, but on the other hand, they need to also relate to the different rules and regulations that are being set by different donors and development actors. So these are some of the challenges. What are some of the other challenges that you have experienced in your personal work within global development, humanitarian sector, perhaps, of organizations staying or becoming resilient and experiencing some challenges?
Yeah, and it's actually not just in the development sector. I think it is also just one of the features that is embedded in both organizations, but also in the way just we humans think and resonate, that we intuitively hate uncertainty. Like, you know, you can just imagine yourself in a very uncertain situation. It often doesn't feel comfortable, just already on an individual level. So when you don't know how things will be going, that is already a level of discomfort. Now imagine that at a higher scale for, you know, an organization or donors that have to fund then large scale project with a potential uncertain outcome. So that is already cognitively something that we are not very, that that we are we humans are hardwired to be not very good at, although we acknowledge that. And then you already also mentioned some of the barriers that were that are also frequently encountered. For instance, if we are thinking in terms of short-term projects and have relatively short funding cycles that only go 2, 3, maybe 5 years ahead, but often shorter, then of course there's an incentive to only plan and work for the short term and not taking into account the much more longer term perspective. And then added to that is, of course, that there's also, you know, sometimes quite high staff turnover. So people also change quite rapidly, which also contributes to lack of a very long-term perspective. Because if we are talking these adaptive ideas, I've already mentioned that some of the structures and infrastructures that are being built up will be there not just for 5 years, which is probably already long, not just for 10 years, but for 50 to 100 years. And there is just no incentive within the system to really take into account this very long time horizon. And that's one of the major problems in this, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Tina. Let's try to discuss potential opportunities and make it very practical, like an approach that could support organizations to become more resilient, right? So a good practice for organizations to stay resilient and adaptive is to develop dynamic adaptive policy pathways. I've learned in one of your workshops. So the Dutch Development Cooperation Association, PARTOLS, is making use of this methodology in order to co-create their future strategy together with member organizations from Dutch Development Cooperation. I'm very curious how this works and how this looks like in practice. What does the development of adaptive policy pathway look like? Could you tell me?
So very basically, it is a tool for collaborative learning and break open this these challenges and constraints that I already mentioned before. And what these dynamic adaptive policy pathways do is that they are basically setting out a process for people to think about different possible futures, and then also start thinking about, you know, if we take certain actions, or let's start with a baseline. So there are already programs and actions and activities running. But, you know, after a certain time, the environment changes. The actions of your organization also have to be adapted and change. And we just talked about that, you know, this can be difficult. It can be difficult to acknowledge. And it also can be really difficult when events catch you by surprise, like a pandemic, or also like a conflict popping up, or like an extreme event. Mm-hmm. So what this approach wants to do is already pre-planning to avoid this surprise moment and to prepare the organizations and actors for the possible changes that they face. Exactly to avoid these dilemmas that you're caught by surprise and either waste time that is very valuable or have to figure out how things work or maybe take an action that is not good or has repercussions in the longer run. So in a way, it's a playbook to already think through future changes and possible actions that correspond to these changes. And also importantly, I said information alone is not enough, mm-hmm. that you also have to change upon getting new information. And that is one of the key points of these dynamic adaptive policy pathways, mm-hmm. that it has monitoring included. So you already discuss, you know, we understand that, for instance, if poverty becomes more extreme or if sea level is rising or if we see more droughts, then we have to change our actions. And if you then, then you can always ask, you know, but what is more droughts or what are more heat waves or what do we mean by more poverty? So you get here a possibility to reflect upon, you know, when would it be necessary and good to change our course of actions so that there is not this delayed reaction, but so that you can also have a concrete monitoring framework. You know, what should we look at? And then once that once these events are starting to happen, you can you can start to act in a timely way.
Yeah, very understandable. And thank you for providing such a clear explanation of how the adaptive policy pathways could look like in practice. Making the link, Tina, with how I, as an individual, as a development practitioner, right, could start to work on being more adaptive or trying to explore how my team or my organization can become more resilient, how I can like become a champion for organization that is more resilient and is being able to adapt to all these different changing circumstances. What can I do as a development professional? Like, do you have any tips and tricks for me and my colleagues as well? Where do we need to start?
It's a great question. Basically, what you should do is take into account a couple of the points that are already mentioned, and that will probably require you and your team to leave the comfort zone that you have. So first, of course, you should know what you do not know, or what you do not know yet. So acknowledge some of the uncertainties that you are there, and then dare also to make it concrete, because what I said before, like climate change or potential lack of funding from donors, that may sound like a vague concept, but if I then say, you know, imagine that donor X completely cuts its funding, then you can come to a brief panic moment, and then you have to think about, but you know, how can I react to that? And this process is actually exactly there to avoid that you panic in the moment when it actually happens, but so that you have a plan in place. Then the next thing is, of course, I said it already as well, it's a collaborative process. Right? You have to get the buy-in from your team and from the stakeholders you're working with. So it's also, you know, establishing that organizational culture of daring to listen where people say, hey, you know, we may have issues there, or, you know, this is not going to work because of this and this. Because very often we also have organizational cultures, especially when people are under a lot of stress and pressure, that you gloss over mistakes, like nothing ever goes wrong. And of course, this is not the way to understand mistakes early on or see risks and threats early on. So this culture of daring to listen to people that flag potential issues, but also at the same time, daring to admit mistakes, is also part of adaptive planning and adaptive management. And that speaks to what I said earlier. We shouldn't only think about infrastructure as something that is quasi-permanent, but also some of the organizational policies are sort of very much set in stone. So also that, dare to say when change is needed, and then dare to adapt.
Wow. Thanks. Yeah, I fully hear what you're saying. And that's something also I'm currently experiencing within the organization I work for, AIDS Fonds. One of the points you mentioned is creating a culture where mistakes are being celebrated. So one of the things that we are initiating to do is to create a culture where we are celebrating brilliant failures, how we call them, and trying to organize an learning culture. I think personally for me, what I understand from this conversation with you, it's all about learning, being open to learning, and organize the infrastructure around learning, having open conversations, focusing on data collection, like you mentioned prior, taking risks, embracing uncertainty, engaging in open and transparent conversations, but also critical conversations with each other, and trying to explore how together as an organization, as a team, we can adapt to all these different uncertainties. You know, one of the things I'm always trying to think about is we are working in this sector to maximize social impact, whatever it might be, whatever topic it is, right? So in order for us to maximize impact, we need to embrace uncertainty, like you're saying, and we really need to explore how our organizations can become more adaptive, eventually becoming resilient organizations. A very interesting conversation, Tina. I would like to thank you very much.
So first, thanks for having me. Super exciting to get this topic out. Now, of course, the approach We are now in a process with Partos, so there we are implementing it as well with many stakeholders, and we are really excited about this opportunity, exactly because we want to help create that society.
Would you like to learn more about the Partos future exploration and explore how you can be involved? Check out the link in the description for more information. Are you interested in engaging in thought-provoking conversations with fellow development professionals? Then make sure to join the Disrupt Development Talk to Walk sessions every Friday, 1 p.m. Central European Standard Time. Thank you for listening to the podcast channel of Disrupt Development, the world's first post-growth innovation academy in global development. We work with leaders, nonprofits, social enterprises, corporates, international institutions, and governments to help them innovate, maximize impact, and achieve systems change.